Thank you, Lord. We ministered last Wednesday night on when they had prayed from Acts the 4th chapter. When they had prayed and all the wonderful things that happened when they had prayed. The place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake God's word with boldness. They were of one heart. They were united. You know, I reckon what would happen here tonight if every one of us were full and overflowing the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't say you weren't. I'm just saying our thermometer's not quite up there, but it can be. You get a whole audience full of the Holy Ghost, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. There's going to be a smoke alarm in hell go off, I'll tell you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just like us, before the weather changed. Some people accuse me even after the weather has changed of sneaking some logs in the fireplace. But after we had a little work done on the fireplace, started a fire, but the chimney sweep forgot to open so I ran in there and told the caregiver, I said, get ready, the smoke alarm's going off. Boy, I no sooner got it out of my mouth, that shrill sound. Well, I'll tell you, we can set off a smoke alarm in hell tonight. They'll say it's happening again. They're doing it again. That church just won't give us any rest. Well, great grace was upon them. There was no lack, and there was great revival. Liars died, and believers lived. Praise God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Ananias and Sapphira came in, but boy, it didn't last long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Something that God spoke to me after the service Sunday night, and I'm telling you, Brother Greg Moore addressed some things that needed to be addressed, but I wasn't the person to do that, and I certainly did not talk to him about that, and he says that the Spirit of God told him to, so I did bear witness there. And so we've been sharing with some folks this week, and you know, Monday morning, I was in the Word Monday morning, got up early, and I was in the Word Monday morning, and God spoke to me just as clearly, and he said, don't you see what Satan's been up to? He's trying to steal the joy of the Lord out of this house. Amen. And you know, I've just made up my mind. He's not going to steal my joy. And I'm going to try to be sure he doesn't steal your joy. And here we are on the eve of revival now. And if Satan ever tries to act naughty, he always pulls it on the eve of revival now. Because here's the thing about it. I never have felt worthy of revival now, but I had several ministers come to me and said, we believe Calvary Cathedral is a likely place to have revival now. And would you please do it? And so we did it. So we've been doing it. I think we might have missed 1 year, but I believe this is the 19th year. And I agree with what Brother Rodney says. When you think you're revival, you're not. I don't think I'm revival, but I'll tell you one thing. I know. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry to see spiritual revival. I'm hungry to see all that God has. And the Bible plainly tells us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, joy is an end time must. Joy is an end time must. And you know, you can get by with being born again, but if you've ever been spirit filled, you can't get by very long without the joy of the Lord, or something begins to turn hard on the inside. I'm on a trail here tonight. I bear witness with my what I do. You know, amen. That's why we can't lose the, you know, some folks, they love the Lord, but they've never known the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So if you've never known it, it's really not necessarily that big a deal, or something you suspicion, because you've been told that folks like that have mental problems, or, you know, the Spirit-filled people, they handle snakes, or they're holy rollers, or they're weirdos. We're not. We're hungry believers. And we just read the Bible for ourselves, and he said, this promise is unto you and your children and as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Spirit is to every hungry, born-again believer. But here's what we need to put on the label. But if you've ever received the Holy Spirit, you can't live long without there being something bubbling up on the inside, except you start getting a little gospel hardened. Then you can see an altar call like tonight, or any Sunday, or see an altar call like Easter, and say, we begin to view holy as common. We begin to view the holy as common. And can you believe that somebody as important as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that when he healed the sick, they said, well, don't pay attention to that. He's just a carpenter's boy. He's that carpenter's kid. He's that guy that does remodeling. He's that guy that has that shop that works with wood. Yeah, his father's a great craftsman, but he's a carpenter's son. Think about that. And then he healed some people on another day. They said, he's full of the devil. Can you believe that the one who said, let there be, and there was? Can you believe that part of the Holy Trinity, that they said he has a devil, or he's just a carpenter's kid, or he's just a troublemaker? We're going to catch him, put him on a cross. Boys, there's going to be some rude awakening one of these days. My, my, my. You know, I want to live every day like I'm going to meet him tomorrow. I hope somebody's writing this down. Thank God we got recording, because I'm saying some things I didn't intend to say. I want to live every day like I'm going to meet him tomorrow, because there will be a tomorrow when you'll meet him. There will be a tomorrow when I will meet him. There will be a tomorrow when this pastor stands before God and gives an account of what I did and why I did and what I didn't do. It's not going to be a matter of heaven or hell. It comes into rewards. And you know, we want everything else rewarded. Well, I'm part of this club, and I'm part of that, and I'm part of something else. And that's why we said the Conqueror's Club. We're proud we're part of something. We're part of, married couples are part of something that's building long-lasting marriages. And that's important. You know, yesterday, I'd been carrying around a QT card that a man came in, found Jesus in this church. I don't know where he's gone, but I haven't seen him for a while, but he came to me one night and he said, Pastor, I want to give something to you. And he gave me that QT card. He said, it's worth $10. And I said, thank you so very much. You know, I've lost that card and found that card off and on several times. I can't explain that. You know, leave it in a pocket and the cleaners found it, you know. And I keep intending to do something, but when I need gas, I wasn't in that location. Yesterday, I said, I picked that thing up. I said, this card will be used before the day is over. So I drove into QT, and then I had the haunting thought, will it work, you know? And I put it in, and it did. I got $10 worth of gas. A man saying thank you. It worked. It worked. It won't work again, but I mean, that one worked. Praise God. It worked. And you know, here's the thing about it, saints. We're carrying cards around in our spirit, in our memory bank, in your Bible. You're carrying cards around that are worth pure gold. Ooh, I'm telling you something. Amen. That Bible you hold in your hand is not just a bunch of print. There's great value in the Word of God. And Satan's top plan is to steal the joy of the Lord. God gave this to me on the platform a while ago. God's joy in us is God's supernatural help to live in victory. God's joy in us is God's supernatural help to live in victory. You say, well, I'm just having a hard time serving the Lord. Well, just start laughing. Start rejoicing. If you have to be a kid again, just say, ho, ho, hee, hee, hey, hey. Ha, ha, whatever. Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I often say nothing will kill you quicker in the ministry if you don't operate in the joy of the Lord. Amen. or it'll make you tired, it'll wear you out. God's joy in us is God's supernatural help to live in victory. Just got that from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. So Satan's top plan for a believer or for a church is to steal the joy of the Lord. For serving God to become a thing of drudgery. I said that right, drudgery, yeah. For it to become a negative, something we have to do. Spinach we have to eat if we don't like spinach, or broccoli you have to eat if you don't like broccoli. Broccoli probably cost George Bush Sr. some votes. Amen. I bet he wished he'd like broccoli a lot more. Amen. I believe he was one that had that problem. But one of Satan's top plan is to steal a believer's joy. And you know, when I heard about the ministry of Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, and I went down to Florida, I'd preached hard all weekend and had a commuter flight, and it was just one of those days of travel. I was just going in to check him out. And I'll tell you, when I walked in, I sat kind of toward the back because I didn't know if I wanted to get involved in this. You see, Pastor Bob Nichols, yeah, I check things out. I don't just open my mouth and just swallow everything comes by, and so I'm going to check it out, you know, because I'm just saying, well, is this something that needs to happen in our church in Fort Worth? And of course, you know, it had already happened with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin leaned on this same pulpit, and there's a lot of him to lean, you know, for almost 2 hours and laughed convulsively in the spirit. In the month of February, if I think I remember, February, before Brother Rodney Howard Brown came. So, I mean, it was not a new thing, but, you know, you just wondered in the ongoing of it. We heard what God was doing down in Florida, and this pastor was hungry for a revival. And I wanted, you know, more than just a one time or this, that. I just wondered if it was something that we needed to bring in and all of us be a part of it. Well, you know, my head, I never have a migraine headache. But I mean, my head was just, oh, my gracious. I should have stayed in the hotel room, I thought. And, you know, lo and behold, about 10 o'clock, he had an altar call. I thought, nobody has an altar call at 10 o'clock at night. You know, you get it before the sinners leave, you know. That's in the average. We get it up front, and that works good for us here. Amen. That's okay. And, you know, when the altar call was given, about 165 people came forward. And all of a sudden, I thought, this joy, this laughter is good. I like to see people say, and I thought, well, maybe that's just one night. So I came back. I had lunch with him the next day, met him, came back the next night, and I think it was close to 170 came forward. And I said, I'm liking this. I love to see people come to Jesus. I love to, whether it's door to door or in an altar call, I love to see people come to Jesus. Don't you? I mean, it's just so thrilling. Whenever you win someone to Jesus, it's just like you got saved all over again. You didn't, but it kind of feels that way. It's what one minister called it, the soul winner's joy. Well, Satan's top plan is to steal a believer's joy. And you know, we're almost a revival now, not that we're marking that as a milestone, but you know, God wants us to crank up on getting happy tonight. Now, preacher, just leave me alone. I've had a long day. I've worked hard on the job. I'm doing good to be here. You ought to thank God. I do all of that. God bless you. Good for you. But I want you to go home, because you're going home with more strength if you go home with manifested joy. I said you're going home with more strength if you go home with manifested joy. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not 5-hour pep drink. I was coming in church one night and I saw someone swigging one of those little bottles. I said, what is going on? They said, well, I'm tired. Well, you know, we ought to have I believe it was up in Colorado. Yeah, I believe that Camp 4 coffee place. They said, come in tired and go out wired. Come in tired. That wouldn't be a bad motto around the church. Come in tired. Oh, you don't know the day I've had. and you get to singing Brother Kevin, and you get back there and you start patting your hands and start patting your feet and get happy. Oh, I'll never forget that precious couple from the Philippines standing there looking up in my face, tears in her eyes, happy, happy. That's what Jesus has done for our family. Happy, happy. Oh, the Hivitas, God bless their hearts. Hallelujah. Happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Satan's top plan is to try to steal a church's joy, a believer's joy, and a preacher's joy. Amen. In so much of the body of Christ, joy has withered away from the sons of men. Joel talked about that in Joel 1:12. There's very little joy to be found in the kingdom of God today. Joy has withered away. You start a trip with much energy and much zeal, but the road kind of withers the zeal away, and after a while you kind of see an elephant's on the road, and we got to make it. We got to make that hotel reservation by a certain time. But joy is withered away. Oh, tonight, joy is not going to wither away. Joy is going to grow and flourish. You know, in His presence, Psalm 16:11 said, in His presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In His presence, yes, thank you, Lord. I mean, Twitter and Facebook and the computer, all of it just had a collision and said, we want everybody to know Jesus is in the house. And don't give Him a guest card. He's a regular here. Holy Ghost is in the house. God the Father's in the house. Really? Yeah. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. His white horses are tied out to the lamppost there somewhere. His chariot's here. The angels are here. God said, look at those happy people come out on a Wednesday night and give people an opportunity to get born again. We're going to bring some joy to their heart. They're going home stronger than when they walked in. Oh, you know, there's great joy in harvest. There's great joy in harvest. You remember Jesus and the woman at the well? And He sent the disciples, or they went on in to Luby's cafeteria in the city there, or Furs, or whatever it was. Jesus sat on the well, and when they got back, He had that soul winner's grin on His face. And they said, Jesus, let me paraphrase. I'm preaching. It's my service right now. I mean, He had that believer's grin on His face. And they said, did someone bring you food to eat? Have you slipped off and been to a desert cafeteria or wilderness cafeteria? He said, I have meat to eat of that you know not. You fed the flesh, but I just fed the spirit. Woo, hallelujah. You fed the flesh, but I just fed the spirit. Thank God. And he led that precious woman to God, and the city came out. Praise God. You know, Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, he knew what the cross was all about. He'd been watching it for years. He knew what the cross was all about. He didn't come to this world and someone had to explain the cross to Him. He knew that terrible instrument of suffering. He knew the cross. He knew it because He knows all things. But the Bible said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy, for the joy, for the joy. You know, there's people that feel sorry for us because we go to church. There's people that feel sorry for us because we're so dumb that we give away our money. At least to be a tither, you give away at least, you just give back to God 10%. And then you get so excited, you order dessert and give an offering. You don't just stay with the manager special. You don't just stay with the special of the night. You go ahead and order dessert. and you give in an offering. Hallelujah. You say, I'll take some French fries with that. I'll take some hot apple pie. I'll take some vanilla ice cream with real chocolate. I asked a server there, I said, is this made from chocolate made from scratch? She said it was when it left Mr. Hershey's plant. Before they put it in a can. Oh, there's no chocolate like Mama used to make. Ooh, I can taste it now. Every Sunday we'd have roast beef. Oh, that's real living. Tender roast beef and mashed potatoes and English peas. And you're not supposed to do that, but Mama would let me get away. I put the English peas on top of the mashed potatoes. And then we'd have Mama's rolls and we'd have butter and we'd have jam. And then we'd always have one of her good desserts. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, when we come to church, there's something better than roast beef. There's something better than real mashed potatoes that are not messed up in the kitchen. That really tastes like mashed potatoes or smashed or whatever you want to call them. Real English peas. You say there's not much food value in them more, but I sure enjoyed them. Hallelujah. He doesn't give us a stone. He gives us hot rolls out of the kitchen of heaven. That's called the full gospel, Holy Ghost, power of God, the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about to get myself happy here tonight. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he did it for us. Hebrews 12:2. He did it for us. You know, Jesus has promised. Do you know, think about this. I mean, try to digest this. You can't digest it real quickly. John 15:11. Jesus has promised us his joy in us. His joy. Jesus' joy. Come on now. Come on. Come on. I didn't bring out dessert on this one. That should be dessert all in one. He has promised us, he said, my joy I give unto you. I give you my joy. You mean your joy, Jesus? Your kind of joy? I love an artist rendering that came from Guatemala when I was down there preaching several years ago in Brother Zirkle's ministry. It shows Jesus with his head back with a big laugh. I mean, it's a laughing profile of, you know, what we think Jesus looked like. We'll find out one day what he really looks like. It's going to be all right, whatever he looks like. But, you know, it just shows the Jesus that we see depicted, you know, by artists and so on. And he's laughing. He's laughing. Oh, he's rejoicing over us, saints. He's rejoicing over us. He rejoices over us. Hallelujah. He rejoices over us. Oh, Jesus promised us his joy. Jesus wants our joy to be full. John 16:24. He wants our joy to be full and overflowing. Hallelujah. Jesus wants his joy to be filled full in us. John 17:13. He wants his joy to be overflowing. Overflowing. Glory to God, overflowing. Praise God. I don't know why Mama's kitchen keeps coming up tonight, but she had a pressure cooker. And every year she'd use that pressure. It wouldn't can it. She'd jar it, you know. And boy, I'll never forget the day the pressure cooker lid flew off and hit the ceiling. Ooh, that's one of the most exciting days in the Nichols household. I mean, there was vegetables all over the kitchen. That thing blew. I don't know what happened, but whew, it caused a lot of excitement. It literally went over the boundary line of the pressure cooker. And I'll tell you, wouldn't it be, you say, what happens when somebody shouts? Oh, they just got so full they blew the lid. Hallelujah. They blew that lid of sorrow, heaviness, depression, fear. failure. It's time we blow our lid in the right way. My. In Acts chapter 8, verse 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto him. And the Bible said, there was great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants great joy in this city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't even think Brother Rodney himself understands what happened here in 93. You say, why do you refer to it? Because we still keep preaching stuff that happened 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. We still keep preaching things that happened thousands of years ago. And people get happy and run the aisles and get all excited about Elijah and talk about double portion. Hey, that's history. That's a long time ago. But you know, really, 93 is not that far. It's a few years ago now. But you know, I was there. I experienced it. I heard the joy of revival. I saw the dead literally come to life. I saw the firemen coming to put out the fire on the roof. I saw people in church who had come twice a month, whether they needed it or not. Twice a month, take sick leave so they could come and get some life. I saw people in church 5 and 6 hours in a service. No one was looking at their watch. No one even looked at a calendar. They were hungry for God. When you're hungry for God, nothing else really matters. Schedules don't matter. Schedules don't matter. When you listen to me, no one knows. God's flowing in this place in a direction. When you're really hungry for God, you know what's wrong with most of us? We're just not as hungry as we used to be. We talk about it, but you know, God, hey, I'm not fussing at you. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm working on getting hungrier than I've ever been before, because in the day that you seek me with all your heart, he said, guess what? I'm not playing hide and seek. You're going to find me. Jesus is not hiding from us. He's waiting for us to get hungry enough to reach out. To reach out. And not only to sing, I'm hungry for move of God, but to be really hungry in your heart. Boy, when they had that revival in the city of Samaria, there was great joy in that city. I heard Fred Price make a statement years ago, and of course he was teaching and preaching faith in a time and era when not everybody was that happy about it. But I remember hearing him, I was in a service. He said, I don't know if I'm born in the wrong time. Born in the wrong time. Sometimes I wonder about myself. I read the book of Acts and I look around and I said, why not? And you can't tell me it isn't true, because I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen the church that I pastor shaken by the power of God. You think that was an explosion down in West Texas? Hey, I've seen Holy Ghost explosions that not only affected the Metroplex, but vans coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, there's nothing. You know, you look at these pitiful poor people on the street down here. I'm not mad at them. I'm not against them. But you know why they're there? Because they don't have revival in their spirit. You know why people are on the street? You know why people are on the street of the street? You know why the women are out walking the streets? You know why some men are funny guys? You know why a lot of things are going on? Because people don't have the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost of God in them. You don't go around holding up places. You don't go around blowing up people when you're full of the Holy Ghost. You go around loving people. This is not a religion of hate. This is not a religion of terrorism. This is a religion of life. I don't like that word religion, but you know what I mean. We're dispensers of the life of God. Oh, whenever I see somebody down, I want to pick them up. Whenever I see somebody on the street, I want to see them get ready for the streets of gold. Whenever I see someone throwing their life away, I want to say, wake up, there's a better way to live. Praise God. Oh, my, my. There was great joy in that city. Devils were cast out. Satan was I like what our dear brother from Jackson, Ohio. He said, you know, we're working on making demons homeless. Let me give you one more from Romans 14:17. Real life is not just meat and drink. I mean, you don't have to drive far to find some place to eat and some place to drink something. I'm talking about all the fast food services. I mean, and you go to some streets, I mean, they're just numerous. Life is more than meat and drink. It's righteousness and joy, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's real life. That's real life. It's righteousness, peace, shalom, peace of God, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I mean, man, I just clipped the top of what the Bible has to say about joy, but let me just come back to that anchor. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I want you to stand right now. Oh, I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God is in this room tonight. Hallelujah. I want everyone that's hungry for the joy of the Lord to get down here just quick against this platform. If you're really hungry for the joy of the Lord, get yourself down here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We need this more than we need food. We need this more than we need sleep. We need this. Hallelujah. 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 We need this more than we need a good steak or some chicken fried steak. We need this more than we need hot apple pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream, bluebell ice cream on it. We need the Holy Ghost tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Someone said, why do you have different preachers come in and preach? Have you ever worked on a job when you needed somebody to help you every once in a while? I have. I've worked loading trucks, loading semi-trucks. I've worked at the Coca-Cola plant. When I was younger in those days, I've worked in different places. And it's just so good to have somebody help you lift something, do something, sort something out. Amen. That you don't have to load all those semis by yourself. But someone else can wheel those air cylinders out there and pyramid them up and chain them down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's Brother Troy? He's in the back, all right? Hallelujah. Come up here, Brother David. Get on that next step there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And Brother David, don't stop and get everybody saved and filled with the Spirit. I mean, I presume they're saved because they're up here. I want you to start right there in the center and just start working and release the joy. Release the joy. Release the joy. The rest of you, just lift your hands and begin to praise the Lord. Just release the joy. Now stay with the front row, Brother David. Stay with the front row now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now begin to praise the Lord. When the hands are laid on, just begin to praise the Lord. Just begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah.